This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The current heat wave in the West and Southwest could set new records. Here's CBS's Elise Preston.
In Phoenix, there hasn't been a day cooler than 110 degrees this month, with excessive heat warnings expected to last through at least next week.
Cold water!
Adding to the danger, red flag warnings as the Southwest braces for what could be yet another grueling, record-breaking heat wave.
Six people have been killed after their small plane crashed just short of the runway in Murrieta, California. NTSB investigator Elliot Simpson says visibility may have been an issue.
It appears that the weather was at the minimums for landing at that airport, so the visibility and ceilings allowed for a landing, but it was right on the minimums.
A manhunt is underway for an escaped prisoner in Pennsylvania, CBS's Chanel Call reports.
Police in Northwest Pennsylvania and Western New York are now on the hunt for 34-year-old Michael Burham. His escape, like a Hollywood movie. Pennsylvania authorities say Burham scaled exercise equipment and shimmied down bedsheets to slip out of Warren County Prison sometime overnight Thursday.
At this time, we have no reason to believe that Burham has left the general area.
Burham was last seen wearing an orange and white striped jumpsuit, Crocs-style shoes, and a jail-issued blue denim jacket.
The war in Ukraine has passed a milestone. CBS's Charlie Daggett is on the ground.
Winning looks a long way off as the war entered its 500th day. Russian troops fired artillery into a residential neighborhood in the eastern city of Lyman, killing at least eight people, wounding several more. Prosecutors in Kharkiv have been collecting Russian rockets as evidence of attacks against civilians, including cluster bombs.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has wrapped up her visit to China.
I believe that our two countries must make the right choice for our people and the world, one that advances our shared interest for peace and prosperity.
It's a twist in the saga of the former basketball coach at West Virginia University.
Bob Huggins says he never resigned as West Virginia's basketball coach following a drunken driving arrest and wants his job back. An attorney says Huggins' wife, and not the coach, sent a resignation notice to the school last month. He was charged with driving under the influence in Pittsburgh on June 16th. In a letter, Huggins' attorney threatens a lawsuit if he's not reinstated. The 69-year-old was the third winningest coach all time in Division I with 935 victories.
CBS's Matt Piper. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. About half of America's taps are putting out water tainted with life-threatening PFAS. Mike Moen has more now on the results of a new federal study.
The findings were issued this week by the U.S. Geological Survey, which gathered samples from nearly 700 locations across the country. The agency warns current testing methods can't capture all types of PFAS. No matter the amount, John Rumpler of the group Environment America says all Americans should take these results seriously.
It's highly alarming because these chemicals are toxic to humans at very low levels, and it's time to turn off the toxic tap and stop using these chemicals.
There's been growing research on the topic, but the USGS says its study is the first to carry out large-scale testing of private and government-regulated public water supplies. And while the EPA is proposing certain actions to limit the presence of PFAS in everyday products and water systems, some health and environmental groups say industries need to face more pressure to phase them out. One of the EPA's recent responses is a proposed nationwide drinking water standard for selected forms of PFAS. Rumpler says it would help, but it only scratches the surface.
There are literally thousands of these PFAS forever chemicals, and EPA is only proposing drinking water limits for a handful of them.
And these chemicals have captured more attention because of emerging research on the health effects. The EPA notes that exposure could lead to adverse health risks such as cancer. Beyond detection in water systems, PFAS has been found in a range of products, including the linings of fast food boxes and firefighting foam. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how it belongs.
Hear the drums echoing tonight.
But what is up with Wisconsin? You know, it's no joke. Chasing the rains down in Africa. Awfully fun.
I just got back from Africa not too long ago. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. And tonight, the one, the only, the former president of Safari Club International Wisconsin, dun, dun, dun. The former Waukesha County Sheriff. One of the best hunters I know, dear friend and all-around pretty decent guy, Dan Trewicki, is joining us today. So, Dan, we really appreciate that you're here.
Yes, thank you.
And, you know, if it weren't for Dan Trewicki,
yes,
I probably would have never seen the back of a squad car in my life.
That's not where I thought this was going. Joel was telling me a wonderful story about how he was going to Greenland and all this. That's where I thought it was going.
You thought it was...
You actually were in the back of a cop car.
Well, I was, but not for the reason you think.
Oh, probably not.
No, I was a television news reporter at the time. And I'll tell you, it's a very bizarre... And Dan can chime in on this if he likes it. It's a very bizarre dynamic between the media and law enforcement. Because law enforcement, they want to give you information that you need. They want to give you information that's going to help the public and keep the public secure and safe.
Yeah.
But the Milwaukee market, as far as news market goes, is kind of middle-upper size market. So a lot of the people who come to work in Milwaukee are kind of using it as a stepping stone. Some are coming here to make a life. That's what I was interested in doing. And, you know, you got people like Nick Bohr, who've been around forever, and he's phenomenal, and Colleen Henry, and some of the people who've made lives here. But then there are others who are using it as a stepping stone. And law enforcement is dealing with investigations very often. So they have to be very careful with proprietary information. And if somebody in the media burns them on some information that they give out, well, then the law enforcement agency is obviously substantially less likely to trust them in the future. But this is kind of a part of my life we don't talk about a whole lot on Raised in Wisco. But
we do not.
Back in the investigative journalism days, I had some amazing opportunities to work with the police. Back in the days before the show Cops, you know the show Cops that everybody sees.
Knows Cops.
Yes, well, remember
what you gonna do?
Yeah,
what
you in the late 90s they would go into people's houses on the busts, so the drug busts, the knock and drop busts. I got to do that with the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department.
Oh.
Literally went along on busts into the homes of the drug dealers with them with a camera. I'm not even joking. It was crazy.
What an adrenaline rush.
I cannot explain to you what kind of adrenaline rush that is.
I don't ever want to experience.
And at the time, Dan Trewicki was in the Sheriff's Department and then eventually ran for sheriff. And we worked on a lot of those things together. So Dan and my relationship preceded me ever hunting. Think about
for
that.
Sure. So a lot of people may not know this, Joel, but the first time you and I ever met, and your wife Rebecca as well, is as news reporters. So I want to guess it was back in the 90s.
For sure.
Like that.
100%.
Know? And, you know, I was the sheriff back then, and there would be stories, and you guys would come out, and we would talk about whatever stories. And I was always... a little leery of the press, but you and Rebecca always, along with several others, Charles Benson, who I worked with a
Charles
lot.
Charles Benson,
you know,
is great.
Just a great guy. We're just always respectful and always really kind. And I can remember I'd get to work and there'd be a long list of phone calls to make. And I'd start returning calls. And people like yourself or Rebecca or Charles would be like, thank you so much for calling back. And I'd be like, why wouldn't I call back? Like, you left a message to call you back.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't always work that way.
It does not work that way.
But that was the history of you, I, and Charles, and like you say, and Rebecca, going back a long time, before you ever hunted at all.
That is part of the craziest part to me, is because you develop a level of trust, but I didn't even know. So think about this, Danielle. I've only been hunting since I was 38 years old. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever hunted in my life. I didn't have a dad who was into hunting who took me. And this is one of the reasons on this show and in, you know, raised in Wisco, it's so important to the mission of this show to get people involved in hunting.
It is.
And to tell them and share with them, you do not have to be somebody who's surrounded by hunters in order to be brought into it. We are here to tell you that if you have even an inkling of interest, or if you like cooking, culinary arts, wild game, the thought of wild game, fishing, eating fish or seafood, go to somebody and ask them. Because I don't know any hunter who is an ethical, honest hunter who's not excited about the opportunity to share it with somebody. And Dan, that's kind of been your mission. Very early on, when I started even getting into hunting, our friendship that preceded that turned into, well, Joel, maybe you should consider this or try this, or do you need a contact for this? Far before I was involved with Safari Club, far before I was involved with any of the outdoor sporting organizations. In fact, I had the television show, which was a fishing show at the time. And, you know, people like Dan were always willing. And for Dan, that's been something. You have notches in the bottom of your turkey calls of people you take hunting.
Right. Notches?
That's always been really important to you.
Yeah, so it's funny. So, like, we've mentored so many kids turkey hunting. The one year I took six kids, I think. A lot of them were deputies' sons and daughters and stuff like that. And we got six gobblers that spring, you know. And
wow.
So, I've just always loved turkey hunting. And turkey hunting, as you know and as Danielle knows, is something that is so conducive to taking young people or taking new hunters. And so it's just, we've both done it a lot and it just adds so much, you know, and taking my own daughter, Abby, and everything else, you know, it adds a lot to the whole experience.
That's the one good thing about hunters, is that we want to share our experiences. A lot of people want to just to have, this is my space, this is my time. But as hunters, we want to bring people out there. We want to have those first experiences. And talking with Anastasia, our producer.
Oh, trust me. I was just about to bring that up.
That's
You're
what
not
we
sneaking
do.
Out of this.
I will take your mics down. I will run the show myself.
That's the problem.
You're busted. You're totally
that's
busted.
The problem with the producer has complete control over
does.
What the audience hears.
Anastasia, you're very pretty. You look nice today.
Danielle gets to keep her mic.
Yes. Oh, boy.
I also have bandits.
You know what happens, though, too?
I feel triggered now.
You know, Danielle and Joel, you know this. It's like, so when you start off, it's all about wanting to harvest game and doing all that.
No question.
But the longer that you do it, and I've done it a long time, when I go, it's far more about the experience. Or when I hunt with my daughter, I rarely take a weapon, you know, and it's just, it's sharing it through their eyes or somebody else's eyes. And more, it's about, you know, when we go to different trips, we enjoy black coffee in the morning at the campfire, or something that, you know, a drink in the evening by the campfire, probably as much, if not more, than whatever occurs during the day on the hunt, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt about it. I don't think there's a hunter among us. So, and you're right. There are definitely stages. When you start hunting, it's really all about what can I bag and take home. I mean,
it's meeting limits.
Right. Yes,
like you want to get your limits right away. And
I got my buck.
I got my buck.
I got my buck.
I got my buck. I got I filled my turkey tag. Right. We got a limit of geese or a limit of ducks that day. But I'm gonna tell you that. And I love watching the evolution. It's funny because I feel like that I was on extra, I think I was on hypersonic speed moving through the levels of what a hunter is, and probably has something to do with me starting later in life.
Oh, yeah. There's more. You have more. What's the word I'm looking for? You have more.
More experiences in a shorter amount of time.
Like more appreciation.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. But I moved through that first phase. I mean, I was in that first phase, and I will tell you that is a very real phase. That, hey, what can I bag it? Can I make my limit? Can I fill my tag? But that quickly for me turned into what creatively can I do with this meat after I kill it? Because I think most people, when they first harvest, they come home and the old saying, butter and onions. Mm-hmm. Throw it in a pan with some onions and butter and eat it. Right. And that's great. Man, let me tell you, a fresh deer tenderloin in butter and onions, it really doesn't get much better. But if you're going to start eating wild game on a daily basis, or as my family does, on an everyday basis, we don't really buy store-purchased meat in our family. Mm-hmm. You have to start getting creative. So mine turned to that, and it also turned to, oh my gosh, I can't wait to show this to someone else. Yep. I can't wait to drag somebody else out here with me. And I have had through the years the most unlikely people sitting in a blind with me. Ken Kindler, a very dear friend of mine, my wife comes up and says, well, do you think you'd ever take Jill Kindler hunting? Now, Jill Kindler is, around my age. We'll just say it that way. She's around my age, and her first experience hunting was a couple of years ago, and we're in a turkey field. And I always laugh because this has not only happened once. It's happened several times. I've taken a new hunter, and they're kind of, I don't know if I can kill something. Mm-hmm. And I say, that's okay. Right. That's okay. If you can't kill it, if it comes out and it gets into the right position and there's an ethical shot and you can't kill it, that's fine. We're bird watching then. Yep. And you're going to have a great time through the excitement of luring. And I'm telling you, the second that red and blue head popped over the corner of the woods about 1,000 yards away, I just about got mauled because I was in between Jill Kindler and the gun. And she's grabbing the gun. Can I shoot it yet? Can I shoot it yet? And so I said, no, hold on. It's too far. We're not in shotgun range yet. Let's try to see if that we can coax that turkey in. So the turkey finally makes its way to the decoys. And I said, you put that red dot on. I had a 20 gauge with a red dot on. You put that right at the base of the neck and you slowly squeeze that trigger. And she shoots this thing, and both of us go ass over tea kettle backwards. Yeah. The blind flies up over our heads and the wind catches it, and the blind's about 100 yards away. And she looks at me on the ground and said, did I kill it? I said, I have no idea. We're both on the ground on our back. We sit up and there's the turkey flopping. And that was one of the coolest, most fantastic first hunt experiences I've ever had. And now Ken Kindler's wife's going to Africa and harvesting kudu there.
That's exciting.
Adrenaline rush of taking someone and seeing them harvest their first animals, unrivaled.
Let me just give you another quick story. It's so when we take our kids.
50 seconds. You sure you don't want to hold it till the next break? Hold this story,
I'll
Dan.
I'll hold it.
Yeah, because like I really want to hear story. It. It sounds like a good story. But I'm going to take us into the break with the fact that I had a really, really good week. The Fowl Life debuted on the Outdoor Channel. Ted Nugent's show, Spirit of the Wild, debuted on the Pursuit Channel. And I am in 6 episodes of both those shows on national television. Congrats. Pretty excited about that. So check those out. And we'll be right back on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Have disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction.
Lord, I guess Hank Williams. Talking about that family tradition. And you can start your own traditions, and you can call anybody you hunt with family, because they kind of become extended
family.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish alongside Danielle Fairman and Hunter slash Sheriff slash Safari Club slash Friend Extraordinaire Dan Trawicki is joining us. We went into the break. I was telling you guys that I was pretty excited about the fact that The Foul Life has debuted their new season. Texas Teal first, and then we go to New York and hunt with firefighters who were actually firefighters on 9/11. So they were first responders on 9/11, and that hunt, and I got to go along on that hunt, and I get to be in the shows. We cook, man, everything from speckled belly goose to wild goose nachos, and just had the time of our lives in upstate New York, which is very different than the city. Everybody thinks of New York as New York City, but I have to tell you, upstate New York is absolutely beautiful, and the funnels there between the ocean and the Adirondacks, and those big Canada geese are moving through there, and they've never seen a hunter, so they're a little bit easier to fool than your average goose. Yeah.
Have you experienced, I'm sure you have, but graters? I did not know there was a goose called graters.
Graters and lessers, yeah.
Yeah, I knew there were lessers. I just never put two and two together. There's going to be graters.
Oh, it's a huge difference. Oh, my goodness.
The first time I heard a grater hit the ground, I was like, What was that?
Most of what we kill is graters here, but we end up killing a lot of the younger ones, which are not as big as their parents, but their parents can get up to, they can get up to like 16, 17 pounds, some of them. It's insane. Yeah, it's like a bowling ball falling out of the sky at you. And so, and trust me, it feels like it when they land on you. I'm not able to dodge like I used to, dodge and weave like I used to. Or maybe there's just more mass, so it's easier for them to hit me. I don't know. Who knows? But it's been an exciting week, and I'm leaving to. Did I tell you guys I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go gator hunting in 110 degree heat in Florida? So, taking the early flight in the morning, and then going down hunting with my buddy Keith Parlier, Mid Florida Outfitters. He is unbelievable, and he is taking me along. He's like, "Well, you're going to be a hand tomorrow. You're going to be a hand." And I've done this before with him, and I know if there's one sure way to die, it's usually not being bitten by a gator or a wild hog. It's working for Keith, loading 500-pound gators onto the back of a truck in the middle of 110 degree heat.
What is the process of that? You obviously, they shoot them right between the eyes, like you see on, and then you just. You get a hook and just whack.
So you, there's several ways to hunt gators. They have a triangle on their head, and that's you got to hit them in that spot. Otherwise, they're cold-blooded and they will release their air bladder and go down to the bottom, and then it's tough trying to find them at that point. But so sometimes we'll bait for them. Sometimes we'll shoot them and then we'd take a musky rod and try to hook them as they're rolling off the bank. Or sometimes we will use the musky rod to hook onto them to get them close enough to get a shot on them. But
have
it is.
You shoot them with bows and floats?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You do.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We've done them that way. I'll tell you that. It kind of depends on the experience of the hunt, experience level of the hunter when we do that. And the reason for that is when you're shooting a gator with a bow that's got a float attached to it, that line has to unravel as it's shot. If that line is caught around something or doesn't come off evenly, that arrow that's attached to it takes off. And then when that line or that rope becomes stiff, if it does not free spooling off of there, it'll boomerang and that arrow is coming right back at the person who shot it. So we're very careful with that. I harvested one down there. I shot one with a crossbow. So you shoot it, they take off, and then you throw the float in the water, and then you chase the float around to grab it and pull them in and kill them. Well, my shot, I was shooting only the head of the gator was out, and I shot it so perfectly well, the arrow actually went into the diamond on its head and stoned it, so there was no chase in that case, which is good. And the boots are great. I've got five pairs of boots of different colors. I've got about 10 holsters made out of gator skin and a briefcase. That is awesome. But that's, you know, that's what we talk about, utilizing mm-hmm. every part of the animal. We went into break. Dan Trawicki was going to tell us a story, and I cut him off because the breaks come so fast and furious.
No, so real quick, and Hang Song Family Tradition was a good lead-in because, so my daughter, Abby, she'll be 30 this fall, but she's been hunting with me since she was 7 years old, 5 years old, going along. And so when you take your kids and some people that go, you sometimes wonder, especially as a father, are they doing it because they really like it, or are they doing it just because they think I want them to do it? So
the struggle's real with the answer to that one.
Right, right. So I know the answer in my heart to this, but we were turkey hunting this spring, and we were struggling, her and I. And in one of our backfields, there were three gobblers strutting, so I said, we're going to have to just make a sneak on these birds. You know? So we sneak up, and she's got the only gun, and called them in, and they came close, and she shoots, you know, with her 20 gauge with a red dot scope and rolls this big gobbler, and he's sort of doing the, you know, the turkey flop where they do the wait and beat thing, you know, which they're dead. They just, their nerves kick in. And I never said a word, and she jumps up and she walks out, jacks his shell in and shoots the bird again. and I walked up to her and I'm like, that really wasn't necessary, you know? And she said, I know, Dad, but like, I just didn't want him to get away, you know? And I thought, that's my daughter.
Yep, that's my girl. Okay, well, yeah. You passed along something to her. And what's really funny to me is I got a friend who is hunting. Danielle and I have hunted with him several times, and he was out hunting turkey this year, and he was the last day, and he shoots a tom, and it just stones it dead. Comes back and he's out there. He takes his like two and three-year-old kids with him, put them in a blind. Yep. They like going. They're not always the quietest, but you know, that's the beauty of a blind. It mm-hmm. covers a lot of ills. So he stones this bird, comes back to the truck, puts the bird on the tailgate, puts the gun on the, you know, empties the gun, puts it on the tailgate, puts his kids in their booster seats in the back of the truck, walks back out, and the bird jumped off the tailgate, ran away, and now he's got no loaded gun or anything like this, and the bird takes off and flies away midfield.
Gone.
After it was on the tailgate. Man, that's how fast the show goes. That was a bummer. Yeah. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. You're listening to 540 AM.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for portions of Southern California and Arizona. KPHO-TV's Holly Bach has more.
Heading out early, that will be crucial, especially if you have any outdoor activities planned. 93 degrees by 8 a.m., and then we're into the triple digits for a large portion of the day.
Ukrainian President Zelensky says he feels that there's no pressure at all from Western officials as the war against Russia surpasses 500 days.
We are really a democratic nation that is dying for that on the battlefield.
Speaking to a translator on ABC, Zelensky said Western nations seem to understand how challenging and difficult this war continues to be. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has wrapped up 4 days of talks in Beijing, saying the relationship between the U.S. and China is improving.
We believe it's possible to achieve an economic relationship that is mutually beneficial in the long term.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know it. You're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
Working hard 6 to 6, it's a paycheck. $100 buy some smoke and some long necks. Gearing up my buddies.
Yeah, that's Corey Michael, my buddy who was in town hunting with us a couple years ago. Waist High Water, man. Check it out. And check it out on all the music sources. It is an awesome, fun song.
I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, it's fun. It's awesome.
It's a good beat for summer.
Corey Michael, he's an aspiring country musician. He's actually quite successful in and around Nashville, but he's just a fantastic guy too. So check his music out. We went into the break talking about how crazy turkey hunting can actually be. And, you know, every once in a while you wonder, is what we're doing making a difference? Is it? And I just can tell a small anecdote. I'm looking at her over there. Anastasia, our producer, who does an awesome job for us on Raised in Wisco and puts up with our malarkey from a couple of Jamokes in the studio every week. You know, she's not much of an experienced hunter herself, but she was proud to tell us that she and her boyfriend might actually consider deer hunting this year. And I was so excited. I felt honored that you actually were willing to share that with me. She's in there.
That was the first thing she told us.
I told him in the car, I said, you know, when I tell Joel, he's going to freak out. And he goes, you don't have to tell Joel.
Of course you don't.
But I feel like maybe, you know, part of your the fact that you work for the station and everything, I think you might have been obligated to tell me.
It's, what is it, collusion if I don't tell you
that
that's I'm
going
hunting?
That's right.
You just see me in a blind one day and you're what is that?
Well, if he decides that that is something for him this year, I know that Danielle and Dan Trawicki and I all would be happy to consult because we do love getting new hunters in. And like we've said on the show before, regardless of political philosophies or personal philosophies, it is an organic source of food and it's a really great way to spend time in the outdoors. Now, killing something to put it on their plate is not for everybody. I get that. However, if you want to be an actual ethical person, it's good to know where your food comes from. And it's also good to be a part of the process of the importance and magnitude of taking a life to sustain yours. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's important that gets overlooked very often when we have the debate between whether we should have open access to hunting and fishing versus those who may not agree with hunting and fishing. You know, if you don't agree with hunting and fishing, then you really shouldn't be going to the grocery store and buying a package of ground beef either. Because that animal is born and raised to be killed and put on your plate. And when you have the responsibility and a high enough level of ethics and concern for the life you're taking, and then you put it on your plate, I think you're taking that bite with much more of an overt understanding of the grandeur of life. And I don't think that overstates it.
No, you know, and there's something, Joel, too, that I've said sometimes that when I've had respectful conversations with people that are anti-hunting or don't believe in the whole process, and I've said, you know, the main difference between you and I is that I choose to harvest the animals myself ethically. Yep. I choose to hunt them myself and you pay somebody else to do it. That's the only difference because, you know, even if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, the harvesting of grain, the harvesting of crops, there are a lot of lives that are being taken in the process. So before somebody gets up, you know, and decries me for what I'm doing, it's just whether you do it yourself or pay somebody else to do it, but we're all doing the same thing.
The only negative feedback I have gotten from somebody is that they believe that we just shoot just to shoot. We don't take ethical shots. We don't use the animal in its full form. Like, we just do it, and if we make an unethical shot, then we don't care. That was the only thing. They said, well, we don't mind about the whole whole processing and everything, but it's the
go to
harvesting.
A slaughterhouse sometime.
Ooh,
yeah,
go to a slaughterhouse sometime.
And that, I mean, part of what you're talking about too really does go to the notion, the cliche, you know, a bad apple spoils the bunch, and that is part. Look, you've got good and bad people, good intentioned and bad intentioned people in every aspect of life. Mm-hmm. And there are some unethical hunters. I'm not going to sit here and say there's no one out there doing the wrong thing because there are. And each one of us in this room has also made mistakes when we've been out there that we wish we could take back or change. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is the vast majority of people I know who are taking game from the field to the table are doing it in a way that they are harvesting in the most ethical way possible, the quickest kill, you know, reducing it to its bag is the way that they write it in the DNR codes. And I think that part of it is important to understand as well. I don't like to have arguments with people about it because sometimes someone who has an argument about it will be firm in their belief and there's nothing you can do to change their mind. But the reality of it is, and the irony of it is, organic farming, which let's say does not use pesticides or herbicides or anything that is going to, you know, chemically repel animals. So organic farming is the farming that ends up literally killing the most animals because the animals are drawn to the organic grain more. And if those animals are not controlled, the organic grain does not exist. It's eaten instead of harvested and sold to people. And that's another aspect of it. I guess I wish more than anything that both sides, and we're both guilty of it, both sides mm-hmm. are guilty of the holier-than-thou preachiness from time to time. But I wish everybody just looked at the fact that as long as the human race is going to survive and thrive, we need to eat. Mm-hmm. And where our food comes from, if we're a part of that, if each of us in this room and the people who hunt and fish and harvest and forage throughout the state of Wisconsin, if we're a part of where our food comes from, I think that's a higher level of understanding the importance of this life.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the last thing I would say on that topic for me anyways, it's my position has always been the same when I talk to somebody. If you choose not to hunt, if that's not your thing, or if you choose not to eat meat, I'm fine with that.
Absolutely.
I have no problem whatsoever. That's your free choice. So yeah. Why would you have a problem if I choose to? You know, I mean, that's the part I honestly don't get.
Well, Dan, if we could solve that very philosophical question that you just asked,
life would be grand.
Life would be much more peaceful, and there probably would be a one-party system here in the United States if we could all get along with that, get along on that front. You know, Danielle, I heard some exciting news that you may consider going to South Africa.
Yes. So the last podcast with Ben and John. Thank you. I'm like, wow, I was gonna call him Jason. He would be so mad at me right now. hearing your trips and seeing all over social media, and I take my animals to Northwoods Taxidermy and seeing all the animals there. The seed was planted. It was planted, and it kept growing and kept growing. And doing what we're doing right now is talking about it. And then I messaged Dan on the way home. I said yes after your speech last week. I said, yes, Dan, I would like some more information, please. And then he said, here you go.
No, what you actually said was, can I go? Is there room?
Well, then okay, I probably shouldn't say if you want to go to South Africa along on a trip with that Danielle's going on, contact Dan Trewicki because the spots are filling up.
Oh, I am very pumped about it. I've told, I don't know, probably about 10, 15 guys at work between yesterday and today. They're like, really? I was like, yeah.
And what's crazy about that is my first trip to Africa. Now, I've been 3 times in 2 years, and I'm planning on going next year and the following year. And the following year in perpetuity until I die, because it just it harbors that much of a section of my heart and soul now. And I have to say, the place that I go is called Johnny Fetting Safaris. And I would not have known about that if it weren't for Dan and COVID. I literally, the other day it was interesting. I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, look, I'm not going to joke with you. It's possible I was talking to myself. I think once you hit about 45, you start talking to yourself from time to time. Anastasia's shaking her head. No.
Not normal people.
You're not old.
Oh, I started at 30. Are you kidding me?
Danielle, as long as I've known you, you've talked to yourself. It's okay.
Yeah.
And it's not even always grammatically correct, so I don't know what you're talking to yourself about.
Everything is correct in my head. Leave me alone.
So I had a trip planned. We had a trip planned to hunt reindeer and muskox in Greenland, and Greenland actually literally shut down all hunters. You couldn't come from another country to hunt Greenland at the time. And Dan said, look, we have time. And Dan had helped me plan that trip. He said, we have time to pivot this to a trip to South Africa, which is not something that I didn't have big dreams to go hunt South Africa. I had seen pictures and I thought it looked cool, but didn't seem like it was for me. And then we changed that trip and we went to Johnny Fetting Safaris. And I want to be clear about this. The vast majority of type of hunting you're going to do in South Africa is high fence hunting. The majority of hunting in South Africa is now high fence hunting. And Dan, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you've hunted several places in the continent of Africa and other countries in Africa. But a lot of it's actually high fence hunting. Now, it's big areas very often. But one of the great things about Johnny Fetting safaris is it is fair chase. And these are animals that exist in these areas because they practice quality animal management in these massive preserves. And preserves probably isn't the right – reserve is probably the right word. There aren't fences. There aren't fences keeping these animals in. They're living their natural life the best they can. They monitor the take just like someone does in a QDM area here for whitetail. And you are having an experience in the actual wilds of South Africa. And that's that, in addition to, you know, the guides who are working their tails off, the amazing food, it just becomes this experience that you can't replicate no matter how you try, because there's nowhere else in the world really to do it the way they do it there. And Dan, you just got back.
Right. So a couple things that I would say. First of all, I'm always a little hesitant sometimes to talk about Africa, and I've been there many times, only because it portrays this sort of elitist type of hunter when really nothing could be further from the truth. You know, in North American hunting or a lot of hunting around the world, I mean, this South African hunting has really become like the best value for the dollar that I one of my best friends came with me on the trip, and he spent for his whole trip less than a really good elk hunt in North America.
Oh, gosh. You know? Less. It's about half nowadays, or a third as much, to have this experience as you would on a guided elk hunt.
I was talking to Bill about the trip and everything, as I was saying before, and I said, how much did you spend on the elk hunt in Colorado that you went on twice? I could go on three trips to Africa for the same amount he did twice.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So what's really nice with Johnny Fetting, when, and I've known him for quite a while, is when you get picked up in East London, you know, and you drive to the ranch, which is about a two-hour drive, never open a gate, never open a fence. Seven families put their land together in this conservancy. So they dropped all their internal fences. They dropped all their fences. And you've got 125,000 acres that you're hunting, from the plains and plateaus to the deep river basins to semi-mountainous areas. And then, as you know, on my trip, we went into the mountains and hunted out at Barbary sheep, totally free roaming, which were native originally
That's
in North
so
Africa.
Cool. That's so
you know,
cool.
And that was just really a unique experience. But it's just such a great value for the dollar, and nice people, quality experience. And I'm probably one of the only people I know that enjoys the plane ride over. Like, it's just, you watch.
You definitely are.
We binge watched Yellowstone all the way over, you know, and it was just wonderful. You know, I don't mind it.
People, did you hear about John and Ben's plane ride?
Yeah, right.
Plane rides, plural.
Oh gosh.
Train ride, that, helicopter.
I don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
trip to South Africa is
a lot better than Russia.
Oh my gosh, we got Pat
did you
on
have
the phone.
Oh, Pat's did he have any no in. Pants, man?
Pat, throw Pat on. We got 1 minute to break. We might have to bring Pat into the next session. But Pat, what's going on? What can we do for you? Welcome to Raised in Wisco.
Oh, I think I maybe have the wrong number. I was calling about Margie Taylor Green.
Oh, well, you got the wrong show, but we're welcome to have you. We're up to seven listeners with you, Pat, so feel free to stay on.
Well, why did I get this?
I couldn't tell you. But this is Raised in Wisco. We're about the outdoors of Wisconsin and how to enjoy it the most. But thanks for your call, Pat. All right. Well, we're about ready to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dan a little bit about his history, how he got into hunting and why it was something important to him, and how that has influenced his careers since he started in law enforcement. And we'll take you out with Waist High Water by Corey Michael. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things,
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964. Grandfather,
man, Anastasia, you are on it with the music tonight. I'm not sure if Anastasia's laughing with me or at me most of the time.
I'm gonna go with Joel.
I think you're laughing at me, but that's okay. I don't mind. I think that there are certain people in life. I will say that there are certain people in life who are good sports. And they get picked on because they're good at getting picked on without it bothering them all that much. And I think I fit into that category. I think I'm one of those people who can be laughed at and be just fine with it because at least someone's laughing, and that's always better than the alternative. And one of my mottos in life is that if you have the opportunity to make anybody else's life you come across during that day even slightly better, you not only should, you have an obligation to do it because we never know what the hell's going on in someone else's life. And if you shoot them a smile or give them a pleasant answer when they're grouchy, so often you will turn their day around on a dime. And if you have a chance to do that, do that. And
especially nowadays, because that is my motto 100% every day. Even when I'm having a bad day, I want to make your day better just because I know what it's like to be in that spot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
100%.
I can tell you.
I just want to hug everybody.
I smile at everybody. Like anybody who looks at me, even if they look cross, I smile back at them. And I think to myself, and I've seen people's attitude change just from a smile. Yep. And that's kind of, and I don't think this is actually much of a stretch of a connection. That's what sharing hunting to me is. Sharing the outdoors of Wisconsin. It's saying, I've got this secret that I want to share with you because this secret, this cool thing really has changed my life in such a positive direction that I want someone else to experience because I know it will change their life. You've heard me talk about Ken Kindler, my buddy. He, you know, hunted upland birds for a long time. Loved it. Loves his dog. He's a real dog guy, you know, and that's
my
awesome.
Kind of guy.
His dogs are great.
My kind of guy.
But I kind of dragged him, you know, kicking and screaming down to Florida to kill hunt hogs. And then he's down there hunting alligators with us. Then he's going to Africa with us. You know, now we're going to Austria in a couple of years to hunt chamois in the mountains in Africa or in Austria. And it's like once somebody realizes the gravity of what that plays on your heart and soul to be out there pursuing an animal that will outsmart you very often. There's no guarantee. It's called hunting, not shopping.
Yep.
And that game and that effort you put in, when that is finally a delicacy on your dinner table, there are very few things in life that are as satisfying.
And I took a new angler out trolling for walleye on when both Bill and I did. She's never been trolling before. She's never been walleye fishing before. And got her out there, and we limited out on our walleye, and
Wow.
Nice.
That time we were not attacked by bugs. The lake flies are out in the trillions.
Yeah, I saw your picture of you hiding under your sweatshirt or whatever it was.
Yes, I could not. You would blink and there would be about 10 more on your eyelashes. Oh. You were just covered, absolutely covered.
What lake?
Winnebago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but you've been really slaying the fishing lately.
Yes, it's so much fun. I have my third tag walleye, and that's when they put the antenna.
That's insane.
Yes, it's so exciting.
I want to get a tagged walleye because I want to put that on my waterfowl lanyard.
Yeah. There you go.
They're like circles, right?
No, that's the lip tag. This is like the antenna that behind the dorsal fin. Tag.
Do you get to keep it, or do you have to send it to somebody?
You just take pictures of it. There's the DNR number on the back and then the fish number on the other side. And then you look on the DNR website, and then you can send it to whatever lake you got it on. And you just
Cool.
Yeah, you send it
What are you going to do with them? Are you going to make jewelry or something with them?
I just have them hanging in my kitchen, my window.
I would make
next
something
to my
for
first,
sure.
My first bullet from my first shot with my first deer.
Nice.
I had all my first just lined up.
Yeah, see, I make stuff out of everything.
Fan.
I wear like turkey spur necklaces.
Yes, you do.
I know.
We went to the turkey banquet and I'm like, what's with the turkey spur necklace? You know?
Turkey spur necklace and turkey foot knife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I know it's a little strange, but I'm a big fan of conversation pieces in life. So
those are definitely both. They're good. Good.
You are a conversation starter.
Oh, boy. What I can tell you is there's a hint of sarcasm in Dan's compliment. I know.
So you saying you want him to make you one?
I can make you something,
I thought about
Dan.
That, and I thought, no, maybe not.
That's when Dan says what I've heard him say before. I'm good.
I'm good
on that. You know, Dan, how did you get into hunting?
So funny enough, my father never hunted, but my mother's brother did. And my mom grew up in Shawnee, Wisconsin. And so even back in the day, it's a long time ago, he was a bow hunter. And I can remember being up there and one of the neighbors had shot a deer with a bow and it was hanging there. And I was so fascinated by it. Like, oh my gosh, how would you do this? And so my uncle Bob, who's now gone, took us out, myself and my cousin, and never shot anything. I don't think we even saw anything, but, I mean, the story was set,
Yeah.
And I grew up in Brookfield, but Brookfield was different then. I mean, I would run a trap line before high school in the morning,
Oh, boy.
And, try to shoot rabbits and pheasants with my bow, and, it just slowly
How old
evolved.
Were you at the time?
Well, I mean, in high school, so you're 17 years old, and... And when I was a junior in high school, my biology teacher, Gary Risch, was an amateur taxidermist, and he had all kinds of taxidermy in his class. And he was like, so if you guys want to learn how to do this, you can come into class before school. And my mother would drive me, God bless her, my mother would drive me to school before class started, and I would be in Gary Risch's biology class how to skin a pheasant. So this was
Is so cool.
Yeah. And that's and another classmate, Jim Hornick, also.
Oh, you're kidding. Hornick taxidermy.
Yeah, Jim Hornick taxidermy. Great taxidermist, great guy, great hunter, was doing it at the same time. So, I mean, Gary Risch was a wonderful man,
Oh, my gosh. What a great story.
That is a really nice story.
And I don't know if you'll have an answer to this or not, but how has your passion for the outdoors of Wisconsin and your love of hunting and fishing and, wild game eating and taxidermy, how did that translate into an advantage for you as you worked in the law enforcement field as your professional career for so many years?
Well, a couple different ways, I think. A lot of it had to do with contacts that you develop, sort of like with you or Danielle or whoever. Like when you're doing it, you're making friends and doing things. And then when I was on the job as a deputy, I would share that with other deputies. And then, the time came and I never anticipated it that I would run for sheriff. And it was never something I wanted to do, to be quite honest. But
you shouldn't have been so good at it then.
Well, it just sort of happened. But then a lot of those contacts from taking people and sharing experiences and taking them hunting, just was really a great networking.
Yeah. And here we are today on Raised in Wisco. And you know, the stuff we talked about today is all exactly why we encourage those of you who haven't tried it yet, ask somebody. Get them to take you. Experience the great outdoors. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. See you next week.
Have a good night.
I'll let my
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.